To Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, please. As you're turning there, I just want to mention there is an article on the back table. Some of you probably picked up in Sunday school, but if you were not here for Sunday school, I would encourage you to pick up this article that is on the back table. It's entitled Six Wrong Reasons to Check Your Phone in the Morning. And so I encourage you to pick that up and read it during the week. There should be enough for each family. So if you would pick that up, please, on your way out after the service, that would be great. Romans chapter 5, please. Let's stand as we read the scripture. Paul the Apostle writes, and he says in verse 1 of chapter 5, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. This morning, I want to talk to you about the benefits of our justification. We have been justified. We have been made righteous before God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at the benefits of our justification or of righteousness. And I've entitled this, I Am No VIP. But that's my title this morning. Father, I pray that you would bless in this time. May you work and encourage your people. May you meet with us today. May you use me as I seek and attempt to proclaim your word, your truth. May you use me to accomplish your purposes. And may I be faithful to the message that you have from your word this morning. And so I pray that you would bless in this time, I ask in Jesus' name, amen. I wasn't sure if Leo was going to be here this morning. I'm glad that you are. On Friday, which was, June 12th? On Friday, I had the privilege, along with my family, of attending Leo's graduation there on Great Lakes Naval Base. There were thousands of people. I don't know how many people exactly were there, but I would estimate that certainly there were thousands of people in attendance on Friday to celebrate this graduation of, I think, over 700 sailors, 720 graduates. So you might imagine that there were a lot of people there. Captain and Mrs. Duncan were in their van with my nieces, Anna and Lauren, my daughters, Kayla and Amber. I was in a car with Rick Melvin. He was driving, and my two nephews in the back seats, Spencer and Wesley. 10 of us in all in these two vehicles, and we drove up to the gate down there at the naval base. The Duncans in their van first pulled up to the gate and stopped there at the guard to check IDs, and Captain Duncan showed them his ID, talked to them a little bit. And before long, they ushered him on through, and then in our car, we pulled up. Rick had his ID ready. I had my ID ready in case I wanted to check everybody's IDs. And they just kind of waved us through. We didn't even stop. Rick held up his ID, and he just waving us through. And they ushered us, the two vehicles, around all these other cars that were waiting in line, and we just drive on in and drive on through and drive around to a parking space in the parking lot there, or in a parking garage, I think it was. I don't remember. Was it a parking garage? And we just pulled around everybody and right into, within a minute or a couple minutes, we were parked. We get out of our vehicles and we start walking towards the building where the graduation was to be held, and there's all kinds of people that are entering this building, and we get up to the front door as we get into the building, and there's a guard there, and of course Captain Duncan, he's there in his uniform, and the guard there salutes Captain Duncan. And as we pass through the front door, the guard says, VIPs to the left, or to the right it was, VIPs to the right. And so we go in and we walk up to this desk area where there's some people back there on the at this desk. And they see Captain Duncan and these are VIPs. To our left, there were this throng of people. I mean, this huge line of people just waiting to get in and through this door and get into the area where the graduation was to be held. But we walked up to this desk, and they right away, this guy, he grabbed a stamp and he started stamping our hand. We all had a stamp that we had to get stamped. And they had us stand aside for just a moment. There were a few other people that were standing over there, another captain and I think some of his family. I don't know if he was a captain or not. He was, okay, but another sailor, another person there. And so we're standing there waiting, and within a couple minutes, the guy that came and helped us and stamped our hand, he said, follow me. And he walks us through this door, and we go around, and we come back to where this big line of people, and we have to kind of work our way through, and the guy that was leading us, and I was right after him, just the way it turned out. I walked through the door right after him, and I'm just following him, you know. And and all these people are standing there. We had to squeeze our way past these people, and he's pushing people aside so we can get through. And all these people are just standing there waiting, and they look over at us like, who do they think they are? And I'm like, I'm just following him. And he brought us all the way into where the graduation was being held. He escorted us all the way to our seats on the platform right behind the podium, off to the left just a little bit. And we sat there on the platform for this graduation for Leo. I think we were the second row, maybe the third row, something like that, off to the left just a little bit, right on the platform, and had the best seats in the house, front row seats, as we enjoyed this ceremony of 720 sailors graduating from boot camp. And the band played, and the choir sang, and the marching band, and the drum corps, the drum band, whatever you call that thing, and the drill team with the rifles, and they did their routine, and all of the honoring of the graduates, we got to enjoy that sitting on the platform right behind the podium. And it was all because of Captain Duncan. Because I could not have walked in there like that. I wouldn't have gotten that kind of royal treatment. If I had pulled up in my own car, I probably would have said, no, get out of here. You can't come in this place. Unless I was on some sort of special list or something, then I might get in, but then I'd have to stand in line. And this morning, I want to tell you that I am no VIP, but I know someone who is. Captain Duncan. And that relationship that I have, that my wife has, that my daughters have, that my nieces have with Captain Duncan comes with many benefits. We got easy, quick parking. We didn't have to stand there waiting in line. We got to sit best seats in the house right on the platform with all these other captains and big shots sitting around us. Because I'm no VIP, but I know somebody who is. And it comes with many benefits. And this morning, I want to tell you, I am no VIP, but I know someone who is, whose name is Jesus. And that relationship comes with many benefits. What I want to do this morning is take a look at some of the benefits that we have, not because you and I are some big shot, not because we are some captain, not because I am some kind of a VIP, but because of my relationship with Jesus Christ, because I have been justified through the Lord Jesus Christ, it comes with some benefits. Look with me at verse 1. The Bible says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And because I have been justified this morning through the Lord Jesus Christ, I have peace with God. To be justified means to be proven or to be shown to be just. To be shown to be right, justice. It has the idea with it to have a defense or to be defended or vindicated as being right or to be pardoned from all guilt. To be declared righteous. Why is this important? Actually, let's look with me real quickly, if you would, at the previous chapter, chapter 4. And we're going to pick up here because notice in verse 1 it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith." When you see the word "therefore," you need to see what it's there for. So we look back at verse 23 and we're picking up a conversation here that Paul is having, an argument that Paul is having about Abraham, that Abraham was not justified because of who he was. He was not justified because of what he did. He was justified because of his faith in his God. And we don't have time to read the whole passage, but that's where we're going to pick up with that thought in verse 23. And Paul says, "Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, that righteousness was imputed to Abraham, not to him alone, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." So our justification is not because of something I have done. It's not because somehow I am special. I am no VIP. But because of my faith in Jesus Christ, because of who he is, because of what he has done. And so this morning, we can stand before a holy God, and he declares us righteous. That's what it means to be justified. Not righteous because you're sinless. Righteous because of Jesus. The fact that we are justified is important. Because I was once an enemy of God. You're not born a Christian, friend. You don't become a Christian because you're part of a certain family or you're part of a certain church or because you got wet in a baptismal tank. We are justified, we are declared righteous because of Jesus Christ. And apart from that, we are enemies of God. You say, really? That's pretty strong language. Well, that's the language of the Bible. Turn with me, hold your finger in Romans. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1, please. We're going to look at three passages here quickly. Colossians chapter 1. Paul again writes here to the church of Colossae in this epistle of Colossians. And in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 19, Paul says, "For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell," that is, in Jesus. "All the fullness shall dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by your own wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." Now, how is it in this passage that we who were once alienated and enemies to God could become holy and unblameable and unreprovable in God's sight? Well, according to this passage, because Jesus has made peace in verse 20 through the blood of his cross. And because of him, we who were once enemies can have peace with God. In Romans chapter 5, back to our passage, Romans chapter 5, verse 8, if you will, please. Romans 5, 8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being now justified." How? "By his blood we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies," notice that, if when we were enemies, in verse 10, "we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." So you see, we were once enemies. That's why it is so amazing that we can have peace with God. It's one of the benefits. I'm no VIP, but I know someone who is. And it's only through him. It's only through Captain Duncan that we were able to be ushered right into the parking space, that we were able to be ushered right into our seats. Actually, he escorted us to our seats right there on the platform. Why? Not because of me, because of Captain Duncan. And I'm no VIP, but because of the Lord Jesus Christ, I can have peace with God. Romans chapter 8, just another quick passage before I move on. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 7. Once again, it says, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But now, because of Jesus Christ, I have peace with God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus," Philippians 4, 7. Jacob Daniel DeShazer was born on November 15th, 1912, in West Dayton, Oregon. Jacob DeShazer graduated from high school in 1931. He enlisted in the U.S. Army Air Corps in 1940. He quickly rose to the rank of sergeant in 1941. And on December 7th, 1941, when DeShazer heard news of the attack on Pearl Harbor over the radio, he became enraged, shouting out, "The Japs are going to have to pay for this." Following the attack on Pearl Harbor, Staff Sergeant DeShazer, along with other members of the 17th Bomb Group, volunteered to join a special unit that was formed to attack Japan. This group soon acquired the name Doolittle's Raiders. Have you heard of it? They were named after their famous commander, Lieutenant Colonel Jimmy Doolittle. Staff Sergeant DeShazer was the bombardier of B-25 number 16, which was nicknamed the Bat Out of Hell, and was commanded by Lieutenant William G. Farrow. Their plane was the last of the 16 B-25s to launch from the USS Hornet. On April 18, 1942, Jacob DeShazer boarded a bomber plane with his pilot, Lieutenant William Farrell, co-pilot, navigator, and rear gunner. Their mission was to bomb Tokyo and the surrounding area, cities. After bombing Nagoya, Japan, the Bat attempted to reach safe haven in China. But DeShazer and the rest of the B-25 crew were forced to parachute into enemy territory as the plane ran out of fuel. Many of them were captured the very next day by the Japanese. They were taken to prisoners' camps. During his captivity, DeShazer was sent to Tokyo with many of the with other survivors of the Doolittle crew. DeShazer was held in a series of POW camps, both in Japan and in China, for 40 months, for about 3.5 years. 34 of those 40 months he spent in solitary confinement. He was severely beaten, malnourished. Three of his crew that were on the plane with him were executed by a firing squad. Another died of slow starvation. DeShazer himself was sentenced to life imprisonment. As the war came to an end on August 20th, 1945, DeShazer and the others in the camp, in Beijing at a camp there, they were released when American soldiers parachuted into the camp. Upon his return to the United States, Staff Sergeant DeShazer was awarded the Distinguished Flying Cross and the Purple Heart for his part in the Doolittle Raid. While he was in captivity, DeShazer persuaded one of his guards to loan him a copy of a Bible. Although he only had possession of the Bible for about 3 weeks, he was reminded of his Christian upbringing, and he got saved in the camp. His conversion included learning a few words of Japanese, and he began to treat his captors with respect and dignity. This resulted in the guards reacting to him in a similar way and treating him well. After his release, DeShazer entered Seattle Pacific College. It was a Christian college with a Free Methodist denomination, and he began studying to be a missionary. Eventually, DeShazer returned to Japan with his wife, Florence, in 1948 to be a missionary in Japan. DeShazer, the Doolittle Raider who bombed Nagoya, met with a captain, Masuo Fuchida, who was a Japanese man who led the attack on Pearl Harbor. DeShazer and Fuchida became best friends or very close friends. In 1950, Fuchida got saved after reading a tract that was written about De Schazer that was entitled, I Was a Prisoner of Japan, and it gave his testimony. And Fuchida trusted Christ. On occasion, De Schazer and Fuchida preached together as Christian missionaries in Japan. In 1959, De Schazer moved to Nagoya, Japan, and established a church in the city he once bombed. And he pastored there for 30 years. On April 15th, 2008, the Oregon War Veterans Association, he later returned to the States after he retired from being a missionary, the Oregon War Veterans Association nominated De Schazer for the Presidential Medal of Freedom and the Congressional Gold Medal, noting his extraordinary impact on America as a war hero and for his heroic service to the people of Japan, where he is well known as a hero of peace and reconciliation. In an official letter by the man who nominated him, Warnock, Warnock wrote this, "At this time in our history, we feel it is ideal to honor a man who was a genuine war hero, but who after his sacrificial service put on gloves of peace and touched the entire world with grace and humility." It was a man who once was an enemy of Japan, an enemy who had bombed their cities. And because of Jesus Christ, because of his conversion and becoming a missionary, he returned to those same areas that he had bombed and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ and became a hero, known by the Japanese people as a hero of peace. You see, Jesus changes everything. I was once an enemy of God, but because of Jesus, I have peace with God. He is holy. I am a sinner. He is righteous. I am depraved. He is God. I am his enemy. But through Jesus, I have peace with him. That is the first benefit that we have of our justification. But secondly, look at verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But also, he says, by whom also? By Jesus. Not only do we have peace with God, but we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. My in-laws, the Duncans and Rick Melvin, picked me up at my house Friday morning at 7 a.m. Like, it's summer vacation. Do you have to pick me up that early? Well, they picked me up at 7 a.m. Is that right? Was it 7? It was 7, yes. And we drove down to the base. We got in through the gate. We parked. We walked right in. The guy there ushered us in and escorted us right to our seats, and we were in our seats by about 7:20, 7:30. I think it was about 7:20, if I remember right. From my house, walking out my front door, to sitting down in our seats, 20 minutes. We had direct access to the platform, the best seats in the house. And we were sitting there, 7:20, okay, so we're here in plenty of time, because my mother-in-law is crazy like that. And we're just sitting there waiting for the program to start, and it was supposed to start about 8-ish. I think it started about 8:45.
But we're just sitting there waiting and enjoying, you know, watching and talking, watching everybody and talking to, you know, people and things like that. And we're just sitting there. And then pretty soon we find out that Pastor Franco and his wife were making their way in. Well, they weren't with Captain Duncan. So, see, they got in this big long cars and had to wait for a parking space. And then they had to get in that big throng of people and wait to get in. But they finally got in. It was about 9 o'clock, and we were thinking, about 8 o'clock, and oh no, are they going to shut the doors? Are they going to make it in? Even Cassie, you were rushing to get in there, weren't you? You were on time, about 8 o'clock-ish. I don't know, I think it was after 8 when you came in. But Pastor Franco and his wife were there, and you know what? Lo and behold, Pastor Franco and his wife, we had two extra seats that Captain Duncan had available that we weren't using. And so Pastor Franco and his wife got to sit on the platform with us, the best seats in the house, two rows back from the podium, off to the left just a little bit, the best seats in the house, and got to sit with us. Why? Why did Pastor Franco and his wife have access to those seats? It wasn't because of Pastor Franco and how great and loud he is. And we didn't get to sit there because we were special. It was because of Captain Duncan. You and I have direct access to the throne of grace. Why? Not because we're special. Not because we're loud. Not because of anything we did. But because I am justified in Christ. I have access by faith because I've been justified through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I am no VIP, but I know someone who is. His name is Jesus, and that relationship comes with many benefits. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 2, verse 18, for through him we both have access, both Jew and Gentile. But it's only through him that we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 11 says, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And how is it that we can come boldly under that throne of grace? Because of Jesus. But lastly, because I've been justified through the Lord Jesus Christ, I not only have peace with God, I not only have access by faith, but I have hope for the future. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5, if you'll look there with me once again, verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. You look around our world today, and there's many people that are without hope. Their lives are chaos. They're depressed. They're discouraged. Even the people that seem to be the people that ought to be the most happy, they have everything this world can offer. And yet they're miserable. They're unhappy. They're divorcing this person, remarrying, and then divorcing that person. They can't even figure what kind of sexual identity they are. Or what kind of race they are, actually. Did you hear the story this week? Oh, my goodness. Our world is without hope. But in Christ, we have hope for the future. As many of you know, I've been working on a master's degree. It's a degree in educational leadership. I've been working on it for far too long. I think I started about 4 or 5 years ago. But I'm getting close. I'm scheduled to start another class at the end of this month. It goes through August. And then my last class, I already know, is being offered October through December. And after these last two classes, I'll be done, praise God, with my master's degree. But you know what? With only two classes left, I have hope. Not hope that it might happen. That's not the kind of hope we're talking about here. You see, there's a hope that is a hope of anticipation. There's a hope that is like a looking forward to something. It's a longing. It's I can't wait for this to happen. That's the kind of hope I have for my master's degree. I know it's going to happen. I can now see the light at the end of the tunnel. I have hope that I'm going to finish my degree, finally. And it's with this kind of hope, with that certainty, but with that longing and that anticipation, and with God, we know that all things work together for good. With God, we know that no matter what we go through in this life, we will be with Him one day. It's a certainty that we have. It's a longing, an anticipation, a looking forward to, a light at the end of the tunnel, a knowledge of certainty. It gives us courage. It gives us strength. It gives us stamina for the journey. It's not a hope of, well, I hope it might, of dread, of uncertainty. I hope it doesn't rain tomorrow. We're having this big picnic, and I hope it doesn't rain. It's not that kind of hope. This is a hope that there is coming a day when all tears will be wiped away. This is a hope that there is coming a day when Christ will reign supreme in glory and power. This is a hope that there is coming a day when evil will be eradicated from this earth. There is a hope, this is a hope that there is coming a day when sinful depravity will be cleansed from my sinful human heart. That's the kind of hope we have, Christian. And because of Jesus Christ, I have hope for eternity. It says in verse 2 that there is a rejoicing. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And I can't wait. I can't wait till that day. But not only that, I have not only hope for eternity, I have hope for this life as well. Notice what he says in verse 2. We'll pick up in the middle of the verse. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God, but he doesn't stop there. It's not just that we have hope that finally after this life is over, I'm going to have peace with God, I'm going to be home with him in heaven, and what glory that will be, that's going to be wonderful, no doubt. But we have to just live in misery now. No, that's not what Paul says. There's going to be troubles, there's going to be trials, there's going to be difficulties. He admits that, but look at verse 3. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God, and not only so, not just about the glory of God and in heaven, the eternity, the future, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience. And patience experience, and experience hope. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So I not only have hope for eternity, but I have hope for this life. But I even have hope, even through my trials. Because he's with me. He'll strengthen me. He'll help me. He'll give me a way out of my trouble. And so I have hope for the future. Ephesians 2 verse 12 says that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh, made near, close by the blood of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even in trouble, trials, tribulations. Ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. If you're of any age, you've lost in death someone you love. But even in death, we have hope that we will one day be reunited with them. We will one day be reunited with our Lord. We have hope for the future. We have hope for eternity. We have hope for this life. We have hope even in our trials. Because I am justified, I have peace with God. Because I am justified through the blood of Christ, I have access by faith. Because I am justified through his blood, I have hope for the future. I am no VIP, but I know someone who is. His name is Jesus. And that relationship comes with many benefits. Do you have those benefits? Have you been justified through the blood of Christ? Been declared by God righteous? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your